listen to the Tommy Schnurmecker Show live weekdays 9 to noon on CJAD 800 and CJAD.com.
Good morning and welcome back to CJAD. Welcome back to the Tommy Schnurmecker Show. We're approaching Christmas, and you know, for a lot of people, that's a time to take stock. And a lot of people get depressed this time of year. And a lot of people, it's a horrible thing to say, but a lot of suicide prevention lines do a lot of business this time of year. It juxtaposes, I guess, a lot of the rest of the year against a time where we're all supposed to be happy. And you figure that, you know, people are going to call up. They may be in dire financial straits or you know, having problems at home or whatever. But there is a phenomenon that has been noticed in North America that involves physicians taking their own lives. It's a phenomenon that some people think is not having enough attention paid to it. And one of those people is our next guest. Dr. Pamela Weibel is a family physician and an activist trying to raise awareness of physician suicide. And she joins us now. Welcome to CJAD.
Thank you so much for having me and for bringing awareness to this difficult and taboo topic.
Okay, well, you know, let me try and get at least one thing straight. Are we talking about people who are suicidal who happen to be physicians, or are we talking about people who are suicidal because they're physicians?
We're talking about both. We're talking about people who essentially entered medical school with their mental health on par with the general population, yeah, and even a bit better. And during medical school, as an occupational hazard, these people developed suicidal thoughts and suicide completion at twice the rate of the general population.
But okay, so how do we? I mean, what's the stimulus? I mean, is there some explanation for this?
Well, I think it has to do with our medical education system in part, in that it trains us to be, I don't know if you're familiar with the term reductionist medicine, which is the opposite of holistic medicine,
yeah,
meaning it reduces us into a mind-body split.
Yeah.
You know, because they want us to be, let's just say, efficient machines,
mm-hmm,
and be able to look at people, you know, with professional distance and just do the job, right? Kind of like, I'm sure, in the military, you know, just disconnect yourself with the person in front of you.
Sure.
Your job is to, you know, drop the bomb. So, yeah, I just think that you can't function that way without a bad personal outcome. If you practice separating yourself from your soul, there are,
yeah,
possibly tragic consequences.
But excuse me, because to a certain, I understand completely what you're saying, but to a certain extent, given the line of work that we're talking about, wouldn't a certain amount of distance between you and the people that you are sometimes giving heartbreakingly bad news to be a requirement? Or else, because I'm no expert, but I would suspect that if you weren't able to keep that distance, that too might push you to an extreme act.
Yeah, that's true as well. But I think the missing piece is that we're all human and there's no way to completely shut,
yeah,
down that connection between us and another person. And what we really need is debriefing, you know, an ability to have a release valve for all the accumulated suffering that we witness,
yeah,
in this profession, right?
But okay,
and that doesn't,
yeah,
exist.
Okay, it doesn't exist. So, and if you're just joining us, we're talking to Dr. Pamela Weibel. She is a family physician and she's an activist trying to raise awareness about physician suicide. What would you see happening as in, you know, okay, decompress, I understand that part, or debrief. Would you actually want to see a regularly scheduled, I don't know, a sit down with other physicians or somebody else? I mean, a simple sounding board? What are you talking about exactly?
Well, I think one thing that we could do is have case conferences, which we already have around outcomes of patients, but allow the doctors to actually, and the medical students, to cry and to have the normal reactions you would have when you're dealing with various scenarios. Right now, there's no way to cry in front of your peers without being weak,
yeah,
and being sent off to a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
And so I think just normalizing the fact that we're all human and it's okay, and it's really going to be better for us in the long term to have these weekly, I would say, sit-downs,
yeah,
in a group setting where we can process our grief together, and not just send the weak one out of the room to the psychiatrist. interest.
Now, here, you know, in Canada, we have, it's socialized medicine. It's public medicine. The workload is big. We had a case a couple of months back, actually about a month and a half ago, where a med student. It's kind of funny you mentioned med students as well. Took her own life.
Familiar with that.
Yeah,
case in Canada.
And our own health minister said, well, you know, it was tougher when I was going to med school, and there was a kind of a, and a lot of people sort of hammered him for saying that because it seemed extremely insensitive. But is it, do you think that the profession is spending too much time building armor and not taking it off?
Yes, exactly. There is no time within the confines of the profession that allows you to be human. You are supposed to be an efficient robot. That's what is rewarded with financial gain and all of that, productivity bonuses, is how well you can push the numbers through.
Yeah.
There is no attempt to honor the fact that this is a healing profession in which, you know, we need to be accessible to our patient's heart and soul, not just robot, right?
Mm.
It's not like getting your muffler changed. You want to have a connection with somebody. And you can't do that if you tell them to turn their heart and soul off and just work 30 years, you know, no release valve.
So where does this start? You've got a potential solution, but who would have to take the lead on this?
Well, I think physicians should take the lead because it is a problem that we have within our profession.
Mm.
And I think once we understand and claim the problem, which up until now, it's kind of like a triple taboo. Nobody's really into death in our culture. Suicide is just, you know, death inconveniently in your face, which is traumatic. And then physician suicide, the people we're supposed to go to for help, they're dying by their own hands. It's kind of a lot for some people to take. And, it's hard for our profession to reveal this sort of wound, I guess, even to each other.
Yeah, well,
right?
It
and
seemed,
then to the public,
yeah.
It's maybe a little embarrassing, you know.
It's kind of funny, though, because, that profession is, you know, a lot of that. What that profession does is it tells the rest of us, you know, if there's a problem, you don't stew about it. Go out and seek help. Right?
Right.
That's part of the panoply advice that I'll get from a physician. And yet you seem to be suggesting and indeed, you know, saying flat out, we don't do this ourselves. And it's costing some of us our lives.
Yeah, we absolutely don't do it ourselves. And it's very, very hard to get somebody who's a helper to ask for help. We're supposed to be the helper.
Yeah.
And another thing is that it's like a 7-to-1 ratio of deaths male to female.
Yikes.
Within medicine from suicide. And if you think about it, men, because people often ask me, you know, why are men, especially white men, at higher risk of dying by suicide as physicians? Well, men don't even like to ask for help if they're lost in a car.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So are you going to really expect somebody with all the ego and the white coat to ask for mental health help? I mean, it's easier to reach for a firearm in North America than to find a psychiatrist or get mental health help as a physician, especially male.
It's crazy. And I also suspect that to a certain extent, given the perception of your profession by the rest of us, that this isn't supposed to happen to you people. I guess that in itself would make it even more difficult for someone to actually step up and do something about this.
Right, trying to protect our profession, trying not to be weak. And also, it does affect our licensure. If we ever end up at a psychiatrist,
that's a
mark against our license. It could cause, you know, our whole career to be at risk. So, again, for a male especially, you know, whose value a lot of times is within their profession and they're the breadwinner and all of that, I mean, they don't want to just, you know, give all that up for asking for help, right?
Yeah.
It's a little embarrassing, again, individually and for our profession.
Yeah.
But I think just destigmatizing mental illness, this is going to have profound effects on our profession's ability to help patients who are mentally ill. If we could just grasp the fact that we're human, too, and we need to ask for help. So we're going to be more aware of other people's need for help.
Well, I hope any physicians who are listening to us right now, I mean, even in this part of the world, will take what you say to heart. In the meantime, Pamela Weibel, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
News Talk Radio, CJAD 800, CJAD.com.